This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Baby, we got a horny muscly one for you this week.
That's right. If you're trying to look at some eye candy and talk about some things that'll make your little boner pop, get ready.
And Dipper did get a boner in this interview. We couldn't see it, but I know it's there.
I'm human. What are you going to do? Aaron Trainor's on the podcast with us today. We're talking about working in porn. We're talking about sodium and how it makes you bloat.
We're talking about what it's like being on Scruff when you're this hot.
Ready? Set?
Enjoy. Blow! Oh. Blow it like a villain. I would like some.
Ah, just want to suck it in.
M. Oh.
M. Mom!
When first choice is a big old bus,
you turn around and boom, you end up with us.
Our number is 213-536-9180. Our email is sloppysecondspot@gmail.com. Now on with the show. Oh, how you sloppy, you stupid, fuck you, not so fuck you, darling, fuck you. I'm a sloppy second with Big Dipper, meatball, meatball, and that's Big Dipper.
Hello, I'm Big Dipper, and we are here in Las Vegas. Can you imagine? We've taken over a suite at Circus Circus,
which we thought was going to be clown themed, but this room looks beige.
Drab. This room looks, what's the term? Low. Sub par.
Low end.
Anyways, let's get into our guest today.
He's big,
he's buff, and boy does he put in work.
Okay.
Please make some noise
for Aaron Trainor.
Hello. How are you, Aaron?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Thank you for being with us here.
Thanks for having me.
We're so excited. So I'm a fan of your work, for sure.
Couldn't wait to get him on the podcast.
I have seen you all over the internet. Obviously, you make the waves when it comes to adult entertainment. And then we all happen to be here for the Gay VN experience. Yeah. We saw you last night on the red carpet.
Yes.
You are doing a meet and greet later.
Yeah.
We thought, how serendipitous for us all to come together today.
Yeah, and maybe later, the two of you will come together.
How dare you?
So we're here in beautiful Las Vegas. Do you enjoy being in Vegas?
Actually, I do. I am enjoying it. It's only my second time here, but I'm enjoying it, yeah.
I figured they film a lot out here.
They do, but I don't live on the West Coast. So okay. It's kind of, and it's also what I might be good for. I live in Miami. I travel, I get to LA often, not often, but often enough. And also, it's just whenever they need scenes or they book or they need something or they're filming something, there are studios here that aren't in that film here that used to be in LA that film here because of rules that they can't film in LA, certain things they can't film or say. So they come here and they film it in Vegas. It's legal. They can get away with it.
What can't they say? Yeah,
there's certain things that you can't film.
You can say anything on this show. So what can you say, though?
In porn, there's certain things that they
incest?
Can't film. Yeah, well, some things like that, or certain dialogue or certain type of
scat.
Like, themed and things like that. Yeah, certain things
blood.
That you can't do. That you
I love that
film.
I'm saying all the
you know
things.
What I mean? Like even like he's some studios, they won't allow them to film like, you know, like Bareback or Ross, or they have to come to Vegas to do that. You know what I mean? So a lot of studios are filming here. Like they'll film part of something here and they'll film like the other part there. You know, so a lot of stuff is filmed here that used to and that can't be filmed in LA anymore.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? So
wait,
that's
do people still use condoms in porn?
Well, certain studios do. And you know, I did a scene about a year ago. Where I think the scene before, I did a movie, but the scene before me, they used the condom, but mine wasn't. But there are some studios and some, you know, like sites that do require, you know, every once in a while. But for the most, I would say 99.9% everybody's raw. But they're
raw is law, baby.
Raw,
as far
uncut.
As I'm concerned. But for the most part, there's a, you know, there's a.
When was the last time you used a condom?
What?
I honestly, like, same. I don't.
Isn't that crazy?
Remember
when we were growing
it was like
up?
Over
we have a,
15
there's a
years ago.
Little bit of an age difference between us, just a little bit. But when we were growing up, I mean, it was it was like you cannot participate yes. in any type of sex without yeah. condoms.
But I remember my friends were getting blowjobs with condoms on.
Yes.
I remember that kind of, I was like, what the fuck is that?
What are we doing here?
And then it's been this amazing thing because of PrEP and because mm-hmm. of Doxy and like because of all of these advancements and yeah. the dialogue around sexual mm-hmm. health that like we're sitting here going like condoms, never heard yeah. of them. Yeah. Like I don't know. That's pretty wild to sort of see nuts. That happen over the course of decades. Mm.
True. True. But I mean, it happens. There's people out there. I mean, I do a little escorting every once in a while. I had a client, actually, as a matter of fact, that
condoms only.
I was expecting him raw, you know, and all of yeah. a sudden he breaks up this condom, and I was like, okay, I didn't make waves. I was just like, okay, because I was like, I'll just keep that to myself,
right?
You know, and so this is how it's gonna go.
You were like, ooh, condom.
Yeah, you know, so
excited.
Because he kind of reached for something, and then he had whatever he was. I thought maybe I don't know poppers or something, and then finally, after a while, I see him tearing this thing open. Then I thought it was like tissue or something,
right?
Because it was a flat thing, but it was big, and it wasn't like a small, you know, like for a condom.
You ever fucked an ass that had a female condom in it, like an anal receptive no. condom? You know about those?
Yeah, that's... I do it, but I've never, no.
What? Have you?
No, but I remember I used to do sex education, mm-hmm. and we would like tour around high schools and like do theater plays and then do a little sex ed afterward, and we would do condom demonstrations, and we would have to do what is called a female condom. Oh. We'd have to do that, but the specific sole purpose was we were doing gay sex ed, so we were talking about using it as an anal condom.
Yeah. I've heard of that.
Doesn't it? No, you're supposed to, it's supposed to suck into the walls.
Yeah, into the, yeah.
And but the end of it is, I forget. Like small, and you have to fold it, and then it goes, and
yeah,
opens up.
And then
yeah.
it's supposed to suck and to your walls.
I wasn't saying any of that on the mic.
It sucks to the...
Well, speaking about sucking to the walls, you were at the Gavians last night.
Yeah.
Your room full of hot porn stars. Did you enjoy yourself?
I did. It was my first one. Like I said, it was my second time here in Vegas. And it was my first Gavian. It's my first award show, period. I never go to the shows.
Yeah, is that not really your vibe?
Well, you know, I just figure, you know, I hate to say this, but I just figure, you know, no one's going to see me. I'm like, I think... This is just
now,
me.
Hold on a second.
This is just me.
Now, hold on a second.
This is me.
We are here.
This is me.
This is just me. I mean, I think, you know, it's like, you know, there are a lot of kids. I call everybody kids
uh-huh.
in the industry. They're younger. I'm older. I'm a daddy, you know, in the business. You know, I'm considered a daddy.
Best daddy.
And, well, thank you. Yeah, so it's nominated for best daddy. But, and
do you know what decade he was born in?
No.
Guess.
You were born in the 1970s.
No.
80s?
No.
What?
1967.
What?
And it looks
like
this.
70s.
But come on.
Oh, damn. How are you keeping it so tight?
You know, I do
what
I do.
He puts in the work.
What are you doing to your face? Botox?
Nothing. I don't do anything to my face. I have friends and I know people that do Botox.
Yeah. Oh, I saw a lot of Botox last night.
Last night there was a lot.
There's a lot of face work. I mean, what is that like when you're... Sorry. Yeah. When you see that in a scene and you're like, oh, you look insane.
No. Well, you
your
know,
lips are huge for just, no reason.
Yeah, it happens. I mean, I've kissed some lips. I've been in a scene or two with some lips and some and some
feel like those wag. Oh yeah, some, frozen like some, foreheads.
Yes, I've,
some hair
know,
plugs.
Yes,
some dent of veneers.
I have, you know, but you look past that, or you just pretend it's not there, and you do what you do, and you get through it, or you know, you I think paycheck. Paychecks, you know, that's what
paycheck.
I think.
So does money get you hard?
Well, money gets everybody hard, doesn't it? You know what I mean? Especially if you need it, you know, like, you know, you're in a situation where it's like, I need this money, and you do what you do, you get out and you hustle, you know, and you make
dark.
That money, you know?
I don't like
everybody
that.
Everybody has a way of making money, you know?
You can text that guy back and say, don't you need it?
It probably does, you know what I'm saying?
Actually, that is what Doug said off camera when the guy said, I'm not going to want to suck the feet, and Doug says, sounds like he doesn't like money.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, it's not like he's like, why is he in the business? You know what I'm saying? Because,
right.
You know, when you...
What, do you think if I offered him more money, he would suck my toes?
Well,
He
probably would, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, it's like, if you're doing this, you have to know you're going to come across the gambit, like everything. You're going to come across the weirdest motherfucker. You're going to come across the easiest guy that's going to come in 2 seconds. You're going to be less the easiest money I've ever made. I mean, I have a guy that just books me just to eat my ass. He doesn't touch my dick. I don't touch his. All he wants to do is just chow down on my hole for an hour, sometimes an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours. And I just
And where does your mind go? Like, you start thinking about the day?
I could be, you know, working, doing something else, you know. I could be working harder. This is the easiest, you know, money I made, you know.
Do you give him some good moans while he's doing
I do, you know, because sometimes he, you know, he'll ask me to, like, you know, like, make me eat it, or he'll say something. You know, I give him what he wants, you know, and it feels good, you know, like, and I love to eat ass. That's my favorite thing to do. So, you know, I mean, so I appreciate it. I understand where he's coming from.
Sure.
And, like, he'll just, you know, just, like, he'll get there, and he's like, okay, fine, then we'll change rooms, and then he'll, like, okay, he'll sit on the floor, and I just hinge forward.
In his home.
And he's
bedroom to the shower.
So he's like, let's go over here, and we go in there, and then sometimes it's in his office, and we'll go, and he'll just, like, okay, and he'll sit on the floor, and he'll just, like, okay, you know, just push back, and I'm just like, okay, and I'm, like, there, like, you know, whatever, and then hits the spot, and it feels good, and then he'll say, like, you know, okay, now, like, make me eat it, like, tell me to do this, and, like, you know, and I'm like, I give it what he wants, you know, but I mean, it feels good. I mean, there could be worse ways I could be making the money.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And that's all. He's like, he doesn't touch my dick at all. He doesn't want that, you know, and he doesn't ask me to touch him.
And that's great, because you can use it later.
Just chow down, just eat my hole. And I'm like, okay, cool.
I love the term chow down.
You know, just like dine on my ass. I'm like, okay, have at it.
Dine. This is what I want to see. I want to see a cutout on a tablecloth with a fork and a knife next to it.
Seriously.
Ass in the middle. Ass. Yeah. All right, we're going to be right back.
Do you love anime, gaming, movies, and discovering how your favorite pop culture affects everything you do? Then join us on Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. I'm Nick Friedman.
I'm Lee Alec Murray.
And I'm Leah President. Every week you can listen in while we break down the latest pop culture news and dish on what new releases we can't get enough of.
Whether you love movies, I'm going to tell you all about the hopeful 4K re-release of Tron Legacy that happens.
I'm right there with you. Or music. The music in this show is absolutely incredible.
Or anime. Yeah. And under this mask is another mask.
You can discover your new favorites right here on The Anime Effect.
Listen every Friday wherever you get your podcasts, and watch full video episodes on Crunchyroll or on the Crunchyroll YouTube channel.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true. But shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. You've never seen a mother and son duo like this before. This show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore? Okay, something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets, and you won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
Energy drink. I can feel it in my brain right now.
And how's it making you feel?
Crank.
All right, we are back.
And we're back. You a singer?
I used to sing when I was younger. I was in, you know, choir and stuff like that. And
do you play any instruments?
Yes, actually,
the rusty trombone.
That too. Well, people probably don't know. I study music as a music major.
Wow.
And I studied. I'm classically trained.
So I could tell you got those piano fingers.
Well, I started learning piano, but that wasn't my major instrument. I played a lot of instruments. The first instrument I learned to play.
Look at that manicure.
Yeah,
he's
right.
Done up.
No, they're not. No. These are like, yes, I do actually. first instrument I learned to play was trumpet. And I was like seven.
The trumpet!
Like 8 years old. And then I played a little bit of saxophone. And then I kind of settled on clarinet. You know, I really didn't know.
Woodwind.
So, yeah, I was a mid major.
Suck on that reed.
And I would play clarinet. And then one summer, a friend of the family came by. He knew I was playing. And he's like, listen, I have this instrument. It was a flute that's been in my closet. And I know you play. And it's like, I'm going away. He was going, I don't know, somewhere for like abroad, I think, or something. And he's like, it's just there. He goes, if I give this to you, he goes, when I come back, do you think you'll know how to play it? I said, sure. So he gave me this flute, and I got a book, and I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I love music, and I love playing instruments, and so I got a book, and I taught myself how to play flute. And so,
off of a book?
Yeah, just like a music, you know, thing, the fingerings and everything, fingering charger and everything. And I started playing flute, and so I played flute, and I played clarinet, and then I really excelled at it, and I got scholarships.
How do you blow on the flute?
And what do you mean, how do you blow on the flute?
Because don't you have to, like, do your lips a certain way to blow, like, down
it's
into the hole?
It's called
an embouchure. What?
Embouchure.
I'm sure of that.
It's the way
I'm sure it is.
You have to, the way you fix your mouth to make sound. It's like blowing on a Coke bottle, a bottle, or a bottle of water. That's how you do that. Very similar.
Yeah.
That's how you,
So how did you transition from being a music major into a porn star?
Well, I went to school. I studied, I was pretty good. Yeah, but I was also an athlete at the same time. I'm getting there.
I just had the shivers.
So I played sports. You know, I played some sports. I played, ran track, cross country, was a gymnast. I played soccer. A lot of stuff. But, you know, and I wanted to do everything.
A gymnast?
Yeah, I wanted to do a lot of stuff. But then I had to cut out a lot of the sports because I got scholarships. I really excelled in music. And I went, you know, Boston Conservatory, studied Juilliard.
What?
A lot of play. Yeah, so as I grew... always as a kid, I always knew I was kind of a freak anyway. I knew I was a pig. I knew that. Come on, you know.
Not as a kid. No,
you just know. When you're a kid, it's like, you know, when you're gay, you know. I knew when I was this big that I was gay. You know what I'm saying? So
like,
I knew
when you were this big, you're like, you were a pig.
You were like, I want to see him push out.
I knew. You know what I'm saying? It's not like, oh, all of a sudden I was curious and it came out. No, I knew I was gay, you know? So, and I just grew up and then these things grew with me. Uh-huh. And so musician, athlete, and all this kind of stuff. And then I was like, and then I discovered a dirty magazine. Then I was like, ooh, there's porn. And then I was like, okay, it was in me, and I knew it. So I would, like, watch stuff and flip through things. And back in the day, they called it the bookstore. They're now adult video stores.
Sure.
We used to call them bookstores because you go in and bought the dirty books and you read the stories and so forth. And so, you know, you go cruising at the bookstores. And so that was, like, my first foray into, like, you know, I guess strange, you like hookups or whatever, that kind of thing, and the danger of, like, you know,
what
cruising.
Part of the country were you in at this time?
I was back and forth at home in Miami and Boston and New York.
Okay, but East Coast,
you know. So I was like, kind of like, you know, and I discovered these things, you know, and I had friends that were a little older, and, you know, and so you learn from people, you know, and you hear things, and so you take a minute and you go out and you cruise around, and you, oh, this shit happens, and it was great. So, and porn was there, and I always was interested in it.
Yeah.
And I loved watching porn, like, all the time. So, I mean, it didn't affect my life where I had a problem where, you know, people are alcoholics and they can't function.
Yeah.
I was a functioning porn addict.
Slay.
So I watched porn, like, I was one of those people that had porn loaded on their browsers on their phone, and I'd be at work, and, like, in between breaks of the bathroom, I'd be like, pull up, I'd be watching porn, like, all day. Wake up, watch porn, like, all day, seriously. But I functioned. I didn't have a problem, but I was like, this is hot. And I like the really dirty shit, you know? So I, like, search for, like, really nasty porn, you know? So,
Pig tube.
Seriously, like, you know, that wasn't around then. But, you know, and then I discovered Treasure Island, and I was like, this is
hot.
So
this is what
Treasure Island was very informative for me.
Yeah, and I was like, this is some good shit. So, you know, and I looked for stuff like that, you know? And so it bookmarked things, and I watched, and I was thinking, you know, I wonder what this would be like to do this. You know, I wonder if I could do this. And that was so hot, you know, and just what I had in me, I liked it. And how do I do this? How can I get involved? And how can I make this happen? And then, you know, I was like, I can't do this. You know, and then I had responsibilities, family, and people depending upon me. And so it would go away. And then every time the urge would come back, it would come back stronger, like,
than yesterday.
Seriously, and I was like, I gotta do this. I want to do this. And long story, finally, I said, you know what? I'm gonna do this. And my mom was sick, getting sicker, and then she passed. And so I had this thing of like, what do I do now? You know what I'm saying? Because it was a big responsibility taking care of her, and I didn't want to, like, start doing this and, you know, still taking care of my family and everything. And so things happen for a reason. It was a timing thing.
Right.
And so, you know, it's not that I was, like, happy. Trust me, I miss her every day.
Sure.
But I was like, okay. Then I thought, you know, I can do this now. You know what I'm saying? I don't have, and I said, so I went gung-ho. I was that guy asking people, how do you get into porn? So like, who do you talk to? Like, what do you do? Like, you know, how do I meet these people? And I would go on like, you know, these dating sites and I would run across like certain people, you know, like big names, and some of them were catfishers and some of them were like real. And I would just like ask people and they were like nice for the most part. And they all gave me the same, you know, advice. Send pics, do this, do this, do this. And then one day I said, okay, I'm going to do it. And I sent some pics and then I didn't hear anything. And then I spoke to, I forget who it was, a second time. And he was like, keep doing it. Because what happens is that they have people that send pics, like thousands of pics every day. And, you know, they come across and see all these pics or whatever. But if you keep sending it, you know, they're going to notice you eventually because it's like, didn't we just see this guy? They're going to keep seeing you pop up.
Right.
Gave me that, you know, keep doing it. And then like after a month and a half, I was like, okay. And then within one single week, it was like, I can't find any other way to say it. I always say it's like someone flipped a switch. And then I got like phone calls, emails, and like seriously, in the same week from like studios and like producers, and Shishi LaRue was like one of the first ones. She called me and I was in the gym and she was like, and I was like, I didn't recognize the number. And then the voicemail was like, hi, is this the fabulous Erin Trainor? She goes, this is Shishi LaRue. And I was like, oh my God.
That's a good Shishi LaRue impression.
Shishi LaRue just fucking called me. And she's like, call me back. She goes, I want to book you on the scene. I want to fly out to LA. And I was like, get the fuck out of here.
That's amazing.
And then like seriously, like 2 days later, like Rafa Club hit me up and it was just like all this shit started happening.
Did you already have the name Erin Trainor? Like when you submitted your stuff?
I didn't have anything. I just put pics and I gave them my stats like they asked, maybe my name. And
did you already have this body? You like lifelong.
Well, no. Builder. I mean I was active, I was fit, but I wasn't as fit. I'm more fit right now than I am.
Because it's your focus and it's your work.
Yeah. It's what I do and I compete and stuff. So you know, I've gotten better, you know, as you know,
and all you did was send pics. Send a video.
I didn't send a video. And
what if you didn't come right?
Well, they
not come right. What's not coming right?
That's judgmental. They asked for a certain type of pics.
They asked for like a rear view. They like for a front. They asked side view.
Spread
like a car. Like getting a new car.
And then they asked for like a hard dick pic or whatever.
Oh yeah, we actually need the those things too.
Yeah, can you send us those pictures?
So, you know, and I sent those and it just like happened and I was like, shit, you know, I just started working and then I was like, okay, do I say yes? Because jobs were coming.
Right.
And I was like, I have to like tell them an answer and I didn't have a name or anything and you know, and just here I am. And so
And you did studio stuff before you started because you also have like subscription pages as well.
Mm-hmm. That was like the last thing. I was like, that's work. I don't know if I want to do that. And I didn't really understand it.
Right.
And I remember seeing the guys promote their stuff. And I was just like, this is one guy. I was like, who is this one guy? He's like straight guy, but like gay for pay, obviously. And then he was everywhere promoting his pages. And I was like, what the fuck is this guy talking about?
Right.
Subscribe to my thing. Subscribe. And that was like the first time I noticed that I, you know, witnessed something like that. I started doing, and like Pride Studios was like one of the first ones too. You know, like Gio and down in Fort Lauderdale, and Howard was representing me at Fab Scout. And
you met Howard last night.
And
I did meet Howard. Yeah. Lovely man.
Yeah. So because I was like,
contact him.
I was like, who do I get to help me? I don't know anything, and I knew the name just from hearing the name, you know. And so I reached out to them. I was like, and they were like, yes, we'll fill this out. Boom, boom, boom. And they snatched me up, and we started working together. And here I am.
That's so cool. And when did you, because obviously someone flipped the switch, you started getting all this work.
It was crazy. It's like, seriously, all of a sudden, like, everybody hit at the same week.
When did you feel like your sort of fan recognition came? Like, when was the first time you were walking on the street and you caught that people were looking at you or someone asked for a photo?
You know, I think it probably happened sooner than I actually was aware, than I noticed. But the first time I think I noticed was like maybe about a year and a half, 2 years after, because then I started, I was busy and I had stuff on my calendar like weeks and months out, and I was like, and then I was like, okay, so I had to like organize like my real life and my job and everything, and then I noticed that people were looking at me, and I was just like, what the fuck, you know? Then I went, oh, that's probably why they're looking at me. And then I would go like to the supermarket, and like there would be like guys that would like follow me up and down the aisle, And like,
what
like,
were you wearing though? Were no, you well, asking?
No, yeah, were you asking for? Were you wearing little booty shorts like
these? I'm always in shorts, but I was like, up same. I like be walking and I go to grab whatever I'm gonna get or whatever, and then I notice I look over my shoulder and be like, this dude was just like on the next aisle or two aisles over, and he's like, you know, maybe 20 feet behind me or something, and like looking at me, and so and then I started to pay more attention then, you know, and they were like, you know, kind of, and then they like, you know, make little comments or whatever, oh hi, you know, this and this and this, but and I knew that they were trying, wanting to say something or wanting to make a pass or something like that, but you know, so I, you know, I knew, and so I would kind of be like, okay, this is the thing, and then I would get like messages. I started an Instagram because, you know, it's like you have to have an Instagram.
You didn't have one before.
I didn't have anything, seriously. And then
And
it's private.
You have a different generation.
I keep it private. And I wasn't one, believe it or not, people will probably go, yeah, right. But I wasn't one for, and I still am not one for like social media, but I do it because I'm a brand and you have to have it, and you and it has worked. I have gotten jobs and I have gotten people that reached out to me and that, you know, and I've gotten subscribers and I've gotten, you know, and it's just, it's crazy, you know, it works. And I would get messages, people go, oh, I saw you at the
That's creepy. Yeah. Just say hi.
Yeah, seriously.
Don't send me a message later like, I watched you shop.
I like a walk by. Love your work.
Yes, and then keep it moving.
That's fun to me.
Maybe a year and a half or so, I started to take notice
that
people were like, you know, and then now it's like.
Now you're Aaron Trainor.
It's crazy. It's like, seriously, like I'll go to wherever and like people will just like say, they'll come up to me or whatever. Or if like, if I go out, you know, I'm not one, I don't party, you know, I might go out like every once in a while, have a drink or something. And then I'll get like people and it's just like, it's like a photo op thing.
Right.
And I get stuck.
Well, like, because you're in South Florida, you, I'm sure, go to Fort Lauderdale?
I go to Lauderdale, you know, because I'm up there a lot. I have a lot of friends there, and then some,
sure,
and I shoot there a lot,
too.
And there's country.
Girl, you with the Eagle
Manners.
Or the Hunters, like, I'm sure it's a meet and greet.
Yeah.
So the Sasha Colby meet and greet?
That must be so fun. I wish people would do that for me. Now, when you're like, what? When you're like out like in a taxi cab or just like meeting new people, when they ask you, what do? You tell them porn or do you have like a fake job?
I just, you know, well, first of all, people always, they see me and they go, oh, you work out, you're a bodybuilder, you compete. I get that first.
Like, and you do.
Or that's.
And indeed you do.
I do. And I leave it at that, or that's the lead into, they know who I am and they'll say, oh, you look really great. You work out, huh? And whatever. And do you do anything else? And I know where they're going because by now.
And indeed I do.
Yeah. And then I'll, you know, because by this time I've figured it out, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's a routine. Everybody has the same thing. You know, they don't know, but everybody follows the same, you know,
pattern,
like, protocol. Okay. And they kind of follow the same way. And I know what's coming or whatever. And sometimes I'll toy them and I'll leave it out there and I'll like kind of like make them, you know, ask me or make them say it or whatever.
I mean, the service industry.
Servicing.
Or they go, I know you. And then, you know, and you're famous. And I go, really? And I go, well, who? What do you think I do? And he goes, well, he goes,
you were on that Reed and Rainbow show.
Were you in Lee Daniels Presents The Butler, produced by Oprah?
And this one guy goes to me, he goes, you look like somebody I know. And I go, who would that be? He goes, somebody I jack off to.
Whoa!
That's
the type of shit I would say.
Right,
I like to get it out in the open.
Right,
I don't care.
Really? And I go, well, what's his name? And he goes, give me a second. And then he comes back like in a minute. He goes, Aaron, you're Aaron. Yeah, I jacked off to you this morning, man. He goes, I love your fucking shit. And I was like, thank you, I appreciate it. You know, and then he comes over with a friend of his. This is the guy I was telling you about. And he said, oh, that's right. And yeah, so yeah, some of
it
them just come out.
I want someone to jack off to me in the morning.
Oh boy. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. And we're back! Giving
hairy knees and shows. Now, do you shave your legs for the competitions?
For competitions, everything comes off.
Why do they do... Oh, everything comes off.
No, seriously, like legs, armpits, everything comes off. Like but I refuse to shave my ass. I'll go, the suit comes like this, so I shave everything on the outside and I leave like the inside. I just don't.
Okay, when I first started drag, I would shave my chest, but only where you could see the hair.
Right there.
So I would have like a weird like V neck and you hated no hair. It was so annoying. It was so itchy too.
Yeah. So that was the other thing too. I shaved my ass once.
The worst.
It's the worst.
For a scene, it was for Rocco Steele. He was
former guest of the pod.
Yeah.
You topped him?
No, are you kidding? He doesn't let anybody top him. He barely lets you touch his ass. You know what I'm saying? So, but
he's squeamish.
Yeah. So he's like, you know, but, I mean, he's a sweetheart. I love Rocco. He's always been sweet to me.
But he's an exit only kind of dude.
Yeah, well, I have nothing bad to say.
I bet he didn't even wash it.
Nothing bad to say about Rocco Steele. I love Rocco Steele.
So do we. He's been on the pod. He's friends of ours.
He's always been sweet to me. Yes. He puts me in all of his, well, not all of his movies. He puts me in a lot of his movies. And so,
hype yourself up for that?
No, well, one of my first covers was one of his movies. And I was like, oh my God, I'm on the fucking cover of his fucking movie. And I was just like, yeah. And one of my best scenes, that everybody likes, and in his movie, it was called Dad's Bareback Barbershop, and I did a scene with Jack Dixon and the
friend of the pod
and the barber chair,
mm-hmm.
and that's the scene where like my ass got shaved or whatever.
Part of the scene.
Yeah, part of the scene. Got it. And I'll never shave it again. But I did it for him.
How hairy is it?
It's got hair. It's not like a forest, but it's furry.
Interesting.
Why you want to see? I know you want to see.
I mean, I do want to see.
Absolutely does want to see.
I'm just curious. I think it's because everything else is so
hairless.
Yeah. It would be surprising to me that it's a hair.
Yeah, it's furry. Okay. It's furry. The whole two, so.
Are you just a nice guy, or how do you get through it when you're just not turned on by someone in a scene? Like, how do you make your way through that?
I've been fortunate. Seriously, I've been lucky. I mean, everybody I've worked with, it's been good. I haven't had any problems. I hear stories about, oh my God, I had bad breath, or I had body odor, I was a horrible kisser, or I've heard all kinds of stuff
like
that.
We hate all of that.
but I've been lucky. Seriously, I've been really lucky. Everybody that I've worked with, I've been able. I don't want to make this sound weird that I've had to work, but there's been something about. There's been some kind of connection.
Yeah.
You know, I find something or whatever. It's been easy. If I need to come shot, everything it flows. There was no difficulty in them. You know, fighting me and, you know, everything just worked.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So.
Do you think that's maybe because you are, like you talked about, you have such an affinity for porn, you love what you do, and you are a sexual person? Because I feel like people, there are not a lot of people who are like, oh yeah, every single person I've filmed had a great connection.
I think maybe you're right. I mean, I haven't really thought about it, but I think that probably has a lot to do with it. And I like to connect with people, you know, so when I first meet them, I'll ask them, is there anything you don't like? You know, is there something that I should not do? Because, you know, you don't want to be in the scene and you're going at it or whatever, and all of a sudden you do something and it's like, and they're like, ah, or they grab your hand and it fucks up the whole everything or whatever,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So I go, when I film, even with content, I film, well, I follow whatever the script asks for. You know, there's certain lines you must say, depends on the studio. And then there's some lines where you can kind of give you like a, you know, you can ad lib or whatever. And this is the storyline, we go from here to here. But I still feed off of your energy and what I'm feeling and what I feel.
Right.
I kind of give.
Yeah.
And I go there. Sometimes the script doesn't ask for it.
Right.
And it just kind of works. And then sometimes, like, especially when I create my own stuff, my own content or whatever, I go there, you know what I'm saying? And, but if I'm not getting anything back or if you don't like it, that's why I do it in the beginning, because the camera picks up everything.
Right.
So, you know, it picks up if it's forced, if it's rushed, if you're like, if you're just getting through it and you're like, no matter how you're like, oh yeah, you know, it picks up all of that.
Yeah.
So the body language and everything. So I have a little 2-minute discussion before, is there anything you don't like or something you would like to happen? Let me know. We can do there. Because
I prefer that.
That's
suck
just me.
On the toes.
That's just me.
So, Ray Dalton has been on our show before. Mm-hmm.
He was hard as a rock last night. At the
Yeah, he was. I saw that.
What was that?
That was his dick.
That was Trimax, though.
Well, probably.
Of course.
Have you ever done Trimax?
Yeah.
Thoughts? Did you like it?
Yeah, I mean, I use it often. So, you know, I mean, I sometimes... you know, from filming, if it depends on the studio or the scene, sometimes you're on set for like 4 hours or 5 hours or something. You know, you're not fucking straight, but you stop for pics, you know, where you have to be hard.
Send the pics.
You get an underneath shot, you know, here, and you need like 30 more seconds here. You need like hard some, dick. Top here on top, and then you get it from this angle. And then, you know, there's different positions. And then sometimes you take a break and you're waiting for the other person to get back in the zone or the bottom to like get a rest or whatever, and you're filming
that poor bottom 4 hours. Oh, you know, so
sometimes, yeah, you know, so I mean, we don't, it's not straight,
yeah,
but sometimes you're on set for that period of time and you need to get the shots. And some studios, the bigger studios, the production's bigger,
right?
And there's more storyline, and there might be more dialogue,
and
there's
changeovers and tech,
there's B-roll, and, stuff. And then there's the actual dialogue, what you need, and then it's here, and then you're getting dressed, and you're getting undressed, and you're half dressed, and you know.
So with Trimax around, the idea of a fluffer doesn't really exist anymore.
Well, no, but you know,
there's always someone hanging around.
Have you ever like been in a scene lizard and been like, oh, there's an off-camera friend who I can help get me going before I jump into the scene?
Well,
Trimax, you don't need help.
Yeah, we don't really need it.
I'm just asking.
But it happens. You know, if we're on set or whatever, and, you know, we get along with everybody's like, whatever. You know, you're there to fuck, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, to create a scene.
You need to do a shot.
But at the same time.
Yeah, I was like, are you asking because you'd like to be that little friend?
Yeah, but sometimes.
I would like to be the off-camera friend.
I want to bring my knee pads.
Yeah, sometimes people are there, you know, and they're just like, whatever. You don't need it. But, you know, yeah, you want to suck me? Yeah, sure, why not? You know, we that's a nice dick. You want to suck it. So, you know, we're going to do it. You know, or you have a nice ass. I want to eat your ass. Even though we're not doing anything on camera.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Camera. But, you know, we're there. We're all naked and we all here. We all do the same thing. But I want to taste you. So, yeah, we're good. You know,
taste,
things happen like that.
Taste,
you know,
the rainbow.
So
okay, so I brought up Ray Dalton because he talked about his fornication parties. Mm-hmm. You are often on the poster for these events, attending mm-hmm. these events. Mm-hmm. You're often a featured performer.
Okay, yeah.
So you're doing lip syncs? Are you a high energy performer?
You do a spotlight number. Strength.
I'm there.
Turn me up. How I attended a party in Dallas, and like obviously, like it's a party, but it's a fuck party. Like people are fucking. How do you go from one to the next to the next to the next to the next and make everybody happy?
Well, that's my job. So, you know, he's good at picking and finding guys that are there and that are good at the job doing that kind of a thing.
Because
we're there to make everybody feel comfortable, relaxed, welcomed.
And we're talking about everybody.
And inclusive and to feel like they belong, you know? There's always going to be a guy that's on the wall, like watching everybody, that's really timid and feels like they don't belong there, or they're like, you know, the self-esteem or whatever, whatever the issues they have, they getting there is a huge thing for them, just showing up, you know? And then you know, and seeing this guy, they think everybody's hot, or they don't think anybody wants to touch them, or they're, you know, they're ashamed of their bodies, whatever it may be, they have issues, but they made the step to actually go there.
Right.
So that's huge. So we want to make them feel comfortable, relaxed, and that they do belong. And so even if it's talking to them and engaging to them and talking to them, you know what I mean? And spending some time with them and making them feel comfortable, walking around with them, you know what I mean? Doing any whatever it may be, just making them feel like they belong there and they're inclusive or whatever. And making them feel relaxed. You know, they might want to come back the next time, and then maybe they take another step, you know? But we don't, if I see somebody over there, my job is to go pull them in and make them feel welcome. You know
that's
what I'm saying?
So incredible. Maybe I should go to one of those parties.
No, seriously. And then, you know, there's always going to be a guy that's going to want to bogart your time. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So we have to, you know, give a little bit here and let, you know, in a nice way, let them understand that there's other guys here that we have to engage with. You know what I'm saying? And of course, it's consensual.
The dude on the poster.
Yeah, and it's consensual. And then sometimes there's other guys that are there too that. Most guys want to see this guy, you know.
Right.
They don't always want to, you know, like run up on me, you know. But we're there. We're there for them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And everybody has a favorite. And
The party I attended was really friendly, really like social community. Like everyone was having a great time.
Yeah,
really
that's incredible.
Cool. Yeah, seriously, it's all inclusive. It's like there's no body shaming. Everyone's welcome. It's a drug free party. Let me say that. And everybody's there to have a good time. It's consensual and having a good
time. When you do these parties or film all these pornos and stuff, you're having sex with so many people. Do you keep track? Like, do you have a body count in mind, or do you lose it?
I used to, like 1,000 years ago. I used to, but I was like, you know what. Yeah, right. So, you know, it is what it is.
Do you still have sex for fun?
Not as often as people think. this is work. You know,
let me say that you're using your whole body.
It is work. You know, some people think, yeah, right, you're fucking, you're having fun, it's sex. Yeah, it's sex, and sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, but it's physical.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's draining, you know, and people, their energy sometimes, and they drain you, and you're pulling.
Energy vampires.
Well, I'm trying to drain.
And they suck your energy and the life out of you sometimes, and it's like, and then sometimes it's such a good shoot, or a good group, or whatever, or one-on-one, that you're just spent, and you're just like, okay, I want to eat, and I just want
to... I want to go to the buffet at the Wynn.
I just want
to
chill, you know what I'm saying? And then you have the days off where you're like off, you don't have to do anything, and you're like, you know what, I'm just going to put my feet up, I'm going to stay on the couch and watch some TV,
right.
You know,
and then even think about
it. You don't even think about it, you know, and then of course, and then, you know, the next day you're on a plane because you're shooting a scene somewhere, you
yeah.
know, and then you have a collab, like maybe the day after, or like after that scene, you know,
collab, plane, another collab.
Seriously, I don't, like, when I do my collabs, I do, like, one a day, if it's like that. If I'm shooting, like, let's say this week, and I'm here in the AVNs, and I book some collabs, I only book one collab a day.
Because you're going to give it your all.
There's some models that have like three. I'm like, how the fuck do you do that?
Yeah, and like, where's the com going?
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, they're like a machine. You're just like, yes, you want content, you need content, but I want it to be authentic. I want it to be real. I want it to show on camera. I want feeling that I am enjoying this.
Yeah.
You know, saying there's a connection, because people can tell, but that's just how I work, you know?
Well, that's why you're nominated for Best Daddy.
Some people get in there and they're like, I have a collab at 12. Let's do this already, because I have another collab at 3 o'clock. Then I want it like 6:30 tonight. And I'm like,
okay. I guess if they're a bottom, that makes sense. Yeah, but as a top, that's wild.
Still, you know what I mean? And, you know, and they're rushing from one to the next or whatever works for them. But I need rest and rest my body. And I like to, you know, my sanity, and then maybe tomorrow I'll film another one, but like maybe at a different time during the day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I try to space them out, give myself time to eat, to rest, because that's another thing. If I'm bottoming, I don't give a fuck. I still eat. I just take longer to clean out. You know, I'm not one of those bottoms that doesn't eat for fucking 10 days, you know, like leading up to a cruise or some shit. You know, you're just gonna get banged out. And some of these guys just don't eat. They just drink water, and they just like, you know, eat gummies or whatever.
Everyone's always eating just gummies.
I eat. I just, like I said.
You got to keep the muscles on.
Because
we know about eating. We're both on a journey to gain some muscle.
True.
We're working out with a trainer.
We have a great trainer who's wonderful and has some of the biggest arms I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
But we have different eating styles, and we went over this. But you were telling us how to eat properly, which I think is so interesting, because right now we're technically on vacation, and I ate.
We're working. This is a work trip.
Well, it's vacation. This is not work.
No, we're out of town.
Well, the thing is
we're out of town.
You're off of, you know, you're off of, out of
we're,
your...
We're out of the cycle. The same. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we ate like shit.
Mm-hmm. I was just saying that this morning, that it's like this whole week that my eating's off, you know?
It's hard because they're all coming here to see this.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm trying to wake up in the morning and do 800 sit-ups.
I'm just mindful of, like, you know, what I take in, you know, and, you know, and my sodium. This is just me. And, you know, sodium is big, because it bloats you. You know what I'm saying? And you don't get rid of it.
You didn't know that?
Sorry.
You don't get rid of the sodium. It's not like you just eat it and then, like, by the end of the day or tomorrow, that whatever. Because, like, it's gone. Like, you can eat, like, a burger. You can go out, for example, at any restaurant, like, even if it's a sit-down, not fast food's worse. But if it's a sit-down restaurant, the sodium in a burger can be like 400 milligrams of sodium in a fucking burger. You know what I mean? Up to that. Or like three. That's a lot of sodium just in a burger. And then you have the fries and whatever, and you put salt on that. But just in the burger itself, or whatever other foods that you eat, like that's prepared, that you don't prepare.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? There's tons of sodium in it. And you take that in, and you have to digest that. And then the sodium is so high. And then some drinks have sodium in them. You know, people that drink soda, there's some sugar, and then there's sodium in that too. It's just the sodium on top of sodium and everything. And you don't get rid of it. You carry it around for a couple, 3 days or so, and before your body starts to release it and gets rid of it. You know what I mean? And then just say you keep eating every day, and the sodium here and the sodium there. Sodium is a lot, you know, and it's just as bad as sugar, if not worse. Sugar's the enemy. That's the other thing, too.
You gotta eat vegetables.
You know what I'm saying? It's just that you just have to be mindful of what you eat. It's what you eat and when you eat it, you know?
Challenging. So, what is your greatest asset that you have when it comes to making porn?
That I have. You mean physically or just in general?
Just your greatest asset. You're like, I'm so glad I blank. have this job.
Huge dick or stamina.
No, I think
or furry ass.
I think it's a combination for me. I think that I'm nice. I'm nice to everybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I don't, you know, not just to because I want to work with this person. I'm nice to everybody. Especially if like you're new, I want to make you feel comfortable.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just porn, guys. We're just it's just sex. You know what I'm saying? We just have fun. And I'm nice to everybody, and I'm mindful of how they might be feeling, and you know, if they're a little uncomfortable, if they're nervous. And that I interact with people well. I pick up with, you know, and I'm good at like pulling your energy and pulling things out of you and letting you relax and like express yourself, you know. I will go here and, you know, and I'll go here and then you respond and I go, oh, see, I can pick up, you like that. And then I'll push it a little bit more here and then and I'll tease you a little bit, you know, with what I'm doing to you or what I'm having you do to me kind of a thing, you know what I'm saying? And then I'll throw my ass in your face or whatever. And then, you know, and then I'll like tell you, you'll know what I like, you know, right. I will let you know that. Bring it here or just sit it right here in my mouth, you know, that kind of, seriously, I'm very vocal and I will tell you what I like, you know?
Yeah.
It really seems like you have like a good work ethic about it because we have interviewed other porn performers who, like you were saying earlier, just like, oh yeah, I did 6 collabs. My dick is purple. I don't even like doing it. It's my job. And you're just like, damn, well, then why do it anymore?
Yeah. Right. I do. I mean, I do. I like it. I enjoy. I am glad that I'm glad that I get to have sex with men. I love, you know.
Did anyone
sex with men?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, men who have sex with men.
Men are the worst.
Did anyone try to talk you out of getting into porn when you first started?
No, because it was something that I knew that I liked, and then when I made up my mind, it took some time for me to actually do it, but I made up my mind. I knew I'm going to do this.
Yeah,
I wanted to try it at least.
Right.
You know, I wanted to test it out. I knew I was going to like it. I just had to figure out.
Well, did you ever? Were you nervous about maybe people that you knew in your life finding out?
No, because like I said, timing is everything. Things happen for a reason. Leading up until my first shoot, my first booking, and my first time on set or whatever, I had all this time to prep. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, I was dealing with family, my mother being sick, and just other responsibilities that I had. So I had this urge, and it would come up. I'm like, I'm going to do it, but there was something that was, you know, there were reasons why I couldn't do it. So that I looked at it as like, okay, this is time for me to make sure I want to do this. This is time for me to, you know, get my head right to the repercussions of what may happen or what's gonna once it's out there, it's out there.
Right.
And then I would go back, you know, because I couldn't move forward yet. And then I had another chance to make sure and to prep myself and to get ready and to get my head right again. And this time it was even closer and I couldn't do it again. I had to come back, the urge is stronger. And so I was ready, you know, I had to make sure I was ready and I had plenty of time to think about it. And I was like, I'm fucking doing this. You know what I'm saying? I never gave up. When I make up my mind, you know.
And that's the lesson, is never give up.
Never give up.
Yeah.
Now, you do go-go dancing as well, live shows. If you were to do like a lap dance or a strip dance, what would it look like?
Well, it depends. What's your
go-to? I think you're asking for yourself.
What's your go-to move?
Yeah, what is your go-to move? Is it putting full body weight on?
Yeah.
Or is it throwing ass and face?
I do all of that. I mean, I like to tease. I like to kiss too, so I throw some kissing in there.
It's hard.
What about the no touching rule at the strip clubs?
Well, that's at the strip clubs. They can't touch you, but when you go to the back room, you can do what you want. That's
champagne.
That's a different story.
You're popping in the bottle. But, in the juice room.
You know, you can do that. You can. That's different. Back there, right. out front, legally, they can't touch you. But if you have if you have a private dance, whatever. And then I get booked sometimes, like to go to a party. Like there's a guy that wants me to go to Texas, as a matter of fact. I think Houston next month, and it's for his birthday. And he's like, you know.
Oh, just like do a strip at his birthday party.
Yes, it's my birthday. And he was like, first he was like, I have some guys that are throwing a party. Would you be interested in, you know, doing like a strip teaser, like, you know, coming out and dancing? Yeah. Sure, fine, whatever, fly you out. Blah, blah, fine, sure, fine. And then he reached out and said that we're not going to do that, but my birthday is coming up. Mm. Would you be willing to do that again? He goes, but I'm not going to lie. These are his words. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to have some drinks and I'm going to want to eat your ass. Is that okay? So I'm like, yeah. He goes, we'll fly you out. I'll pay your fee. And you okay with me eating your ass? I'm like, yeah, that's the job.
I like that. Me I like too. When people are just like, this is what I want. Let's do this.
This is
I hate,
me.
This is me. I hate when people kind of like beat around the bush.
Yeah.
And then you're not, you don't get what you want.
Yeah. So, and that, I mean, that's the job. It's like, you know, it's the job. You know,
that's your job.
You know?
Okay. Sorry. So I'm cranked.
I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. We'll do it.
That's fun. I found go-go dancing to be wildly intimidating because you can't control what people are seeing.
Like, and the boxes sometimes can't hold his weight, which is another issue for him. So it's kind of hard.
Yeah. They need big boy boxes.
It's all that sodium.
No, but it's like, fuck you, bitch. Fuck you, fat bitch. We're the exact same shape.
We're the exact same shape. I'm literally 50 pounds lighter.
Yes, and then why? It's because I got muscle, baby.
Oh, yeah, you got some fat ass legs.
It's because why were we on the same jet here and I needed a seatbelt extender, but you could fit in the seat?
And I could pull it tight. One time I got on a flight and the lady, sorry, this is about me again. The lady tried to like sneakily hand me a seatbelt extender. And I took it and I went, oh, I don't need. And she was like, just. And I got in the seat and I buckled the seatbelt and I was just holding it.
You're like, I'm good.
I'm good. So I just took it home. So I have a Delta seat extender in my fucking drag room at home. Because I was like, how fucking rude.
I feel like I do need to defend the fact that it's always like, if I just readjust myself in the seat, it clicks. But the way I naturally sit in it, it doesn't fit.
Okay. Gotcha.
Sure.
All right, we're taking a break. We'll be back with our last and final segment.
You guys are hilarious.
And we're
back. Have you ever seen the musical Wicked? Are you into musicals?
I have not seen it. I've seen little pieces, bits and pieces. I have a friend that is in a touring cast of Wicked.
Whomst were they? You don't know the characters.
I don't know his character, but he did it before and then he came back. He's in New York. He's doing it.
What age bracket is he in?
He's in like
the Wizard.
Our age bracket.
Our?
Yeah.
How old do you think Dipper is?
I don't know. I'm going to say he's younger than me, I would say. Because everybody's old. I'm older than everybody. You know? I'm shorter and older than everybody.
So you were born in.
I was actually shocked at how short everyone was last night. And everyone's like, yes, all porn stars are short. That's how their bodies are jacked like
that. People see me like, oh my God, I thought you're like 5'10, 6 foot or whatever. I was got booked, literally, I'm not going to say who. We've been chatting for a long time. His studio is quite popular, really famous, has different little, little sites. And we've been chatting for a while. He reached out to me. And then his assistant reached out to me. They actually won some awards last night.
Okay.
And don't even ask. And but he's very nice.
Was it self-sucking twink packing meat?
And so he booked me to do like a scene. I think it was two, finally, because we kept chatting. We did the whole thing or whatever.
Yeah.
His assistant was a huge fan. So he's like, he's a fan of yours. So he's like, you have to book me. So he wants you to. It's gonna happen, don't worry. And he's like, he can't wait to work with you. And like, what about you? Anyway, so he booked me to do this, and then all of a sudden he realized, he was like, I sent him whatever info and everything. And then he was like, oh, he goes, I'm so sorry. He goes, I don't know why. He goes, I thought you were like 6'1 or 6'2 or whatever, like at least 6 foot. And he goes, I don't know what I was thinking. And it's like, we've been chatting for so long, I should have known this or whatever. But because the site and the scene called for a size difference.
Thought you were going to be the big one.
So he thought I was the tall one, so whatever. And he's like, physically, the dick, everything, the body, everything was fine. It's just that I didn't have the height. And so I was like, oh, it's okay. No, don't worry about it.
It's an apple box.
And so he's like, you know, it's like, I'm really, really sorry. And he's like, everything was like, and the dates, everything were booked and everything.
Whoa.
I was just, the only thing that hadn't happened was like the flight. We were booking, everything was in place.
Right.
We agreed on everything. And then he realized, he's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that. You know, so.
How tall are you?
5'6" and change, 7.
Oh, same as Dipper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm not 5'7.
Sure.
That's taller than me.
Now
I
want
to go back to
you
saying our age.
Yeah. Well, no, I think you're younger than me, but I think you're
like probably, definitely 55, right?
I don't think you're 30 something, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? My point being is that I don't think you're a kid. I don't think you're like 29, like a kid. You're not young. You know what I'm saying?
Not young. a new bio.
Okay, well, listen.
No, just say an age. Say an age out loud. I need to hear a number.
I just want to hear a number. That's all we want to do is hear a number. Aaron, we just want to hear a number.
You say words, and some people take the words, and they like literally, and they read between.
Yeah, that's our whole judge.
That's all we do.
I call everybody kid. So I don't think, seriously, I don't think you're a kid.
Thank you.
That's my point, is what I'm trying to get across. So when I said I don't think you're 30-something, I wasn't trying to say that I don't think you are. You know what I mean? Oh, let me shut up.
No, keep going.
Our final segment of the show is called Fuck Talk,
where we or our guests tell a fun, interesting, crazy, wild, kooky sex story from their past, present, or future.
Or show an example of it.
Take it out.
You said funny?
Weird, funny, crazy.
We as gay people probably have wilder, crazier sex stories than anyone else.
I'm trying
to
think of something that might be, you know, interesting.
And then I have a question for you.
Is it about the taste of the meat?
Taste of what meat? What meat?
The pork.
Oh, it was in the pork chow mein. How much protein's in pork? No. I have been hooking up with a very, very large, muscular gentleman, and I'm not large or muscular at all. He's like 6'2". He's way bigger than me. And I'm just wondering, is that a common thing that they like slobby fags?
I don't think it's a common thing. I think people like what they like. And I mean, I have friends that are like, one's like, you know, jacked, you know, and they both go to the gym, but one is like really solid, really, really obvious, like, you know, very, very fit, much more fit, put it that way, than the partner.
Other. Yeah.
And the partner's a bear, literally. He's like, and they're in love.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They love each other.
Little body diversity.
I
would
call this love.
No, okay. No, I'm just saying that they're in love. They're married, and this is their life, and, you know, and they love each other, accept each other for who they are. I think there are people that are in our community, or just in general, straight or gay, that like something that they're not.
Right.
They're attracted to that.
I think he's into my youth because he is also almost 60.
But it's also the thing where like we talk about people who like specifically like trans people as chasers or specifically like chubby people as chasers. Mm-hmm. But there's like a weird stigma around that. Mm-hmm. And then we think everybody loves, I'm not trying to be rude, a muscle jacket. But we should call that chasers as well.
I didn't
like,
know I was going to love I'm a muscle it, chaser.
There was a guy, seriously, so I was on Scruff.
I'm going to grab it.
I would love to sign over my mortgage.
On Scruff. I don't do Grind. I was on Scruff. And I had one of those weird days where I was just laying around. I was like off. I had the whole weekend. I didn't have to be on a plane. I didn't have to go anywhere. And I was like, I have the fucking weekend off.
No flute practice.
Seriously, nothing. I had nothing. And I was like, what am I going to do? I mean, I could just stay here in my apartment, just like on the couch and just like do nothing and just stay. But it's a nice day. I have a whole weekend. I'm saying to myself, do something. Like, you know, maybe I'll suck a dick. Sometimes I just want to suck dick. Sometimes I just want to eat ass. Seriously, I don't want to fuck anybody or I don't want to get fucked. Sometimes I just want to put your shit in my mouth. You know, that's what I want. That's all I want to do. Well, you know what I mean. I just let me service you. Sometimes I just want to eat you. I just want to taste you. That's all I want to do. I'll do it. That's
taste
that,
of the meat.
And I'm good about that. You know, I'm good with that. So I'm thinking maybe I'll just suck a dick tomorrow or today. So I'm like thinking maybe I'll suck a dick
like a villain.
And seriously, that's what I'm going.
Cocks abound. Maybe I wonder how many cocks I can suck.
I can't believe you.
I have my whole weekend ahead of me.
It's wild to me that you would use Scruff. Like I feel like you would just have so many people's numbers in your phone.
See, that's another story too. Because I wanted strange dick. I wanted somebody that I didn't know. Okay. So I was in that mood, and I was like, I just want to suck some random guy's dick. And that would fucking blow my mind. It would do it for me. You know what I'm saying? And just because it was new. And I didn't give a fuck if it was like a huge dick, if it was a small, I just wanted a strange dick in my mouth. You know what I'm saying? That's what I was about. And so I'm going, maybe I'll suck a dick. So the point of the story is.
This. Is
I went on Scruff.
Yes.
And I'm like, you know, and I was willing to maybe take a little 5-mile drive, no more than that.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
And well, I'm in LA, I'll drive 30 miles.
Dipper will drive an hour for a day.
And I'm thinking, you know, I've had those days too where I'm like, fuck it, I'll drive up to Lauderdale, or I'll drive here, or I'll drive like an hour and a half or whatever. But, you know, I have nothing to do. And I'm like, I'm in that mood.
Yes.
It doesn't happen often. But I'm like, 5 miles is not too bad. So I'm looking around, see who's close or whatever. And, you know, the minute I go on, my shit fucking goes crazy. So I'm like, okay, here we go. I have to filter through all this stuff. I find a guy. I'm like, we're talking. I'm like, okay, cool. So he's like, oh my God, you know, you're really hot. I'm like, yeah. So I'm like, listen.
And I'm like, well, yes.
So I tell him,
This
is what I want. You know, he's all about this and that. I'm like, look, I just want to suck dick. And I like said it like a few times. So we're clear. You know, if I come there or if you come here, I don't want any bullshit. Like, you know, I'm just trying to suck your dick. That's all I want to do. Are you good with that? He's like, yes, I'm fine. And he's like, okay. And then 15 minutes later, he comes back and he's like, okay. He goes, but you know what? He goes, you're really hot. He goes, but I really want something else. He goes, I'm kind of a chaser. And I was like, okay. I go, well, you can just tell me at the beginning. He goes, right. but you're really, really hot though. And I'm like, okay, fine. You know, but I can go, I'll still, if you want, I just want to suck dick. I'll go for it. But he was like, no. And he turned me down. He was like, no. He goes, I want a little guy that has a little bit of belly. I want somebody with a little more meat on their bones. And I was like, okay, cool, fine. And I get it. You know what I'm saying? And so that was a long, boring story. But yes, people.
Well, we got this out of it, which is so great.
People like you know, cock. What the difference.
They like
know?
What they like.
They like what they like. You know what I'm saying? But to turn you down,
that's a mistake.
But no, seriously. Prison. And I was cool with that. I was like, okay, fine, good. And I respected that.
Well,
you know
so did
saying?
You find a dick to suck?
Actually, I did. I found a dick. There was a couple, and like two different ones, not a couple, but two different ones. And I just wanted one dick. I didn't want to deal with anybody's bullshit, anybody's drama. I didn't want to be like, you know, because you know how those things go when you get on like Scruff or Grindr, you know, they fucking ghost you, and then they're like waiting for the next hotter guy to come along. I'm like, look, dude, it's me. Yes, it's really Aaron Trainer. I want to suck your dick. Do you want to do
let
this or not?
Daddy.
You know what I'm saying? This is it.
Daddy wants the milk.
Because if this goes on for like another 15 minutes, I'm done and I'm going to be over it. And I'm going to be like, fucking, that's why I don't go on these sites anymore.
You know, a friend of ours, Leo Herrera, who is sort of like an author, a writer, and like an Instagram pundit, like he posts a lot of like, you know, thoughtful things. He talks a lot about the Prince Charming sort of mindset at a bathhouse or a sex club,
okay,
where you're waiting for the next best or waiting for the hotter.
That's what you spend right there.
6 hours, and then you leave with nothing.
And then you go home and jerk off. And
the
like,
guy you thought was a 7 or an 8, and you were waiting for a 10. Well, after they left, it was 3s and 4s that came through, and you were like, well, fuck it. I guess I'm going to the In-N-Out or whatever.
Yeah. That's the same thing with those fucking, you know, Grindr's the fucking worst. I gave that app like fucking 3-4 tries and I deleted it and been done with it for like at least 3 years. Like, I'll never go back. They're just full of shit over there. I mean, they're all full of shit, but.
What are you looking forward to doing with your career coming up soon as we wrap up?
I don't know. I just, hopefully I can continue to get work.
Yeah.
I see. You and I still want to,
and I still want to, you know, there's some studios that I'm like, you know, a couple that I haven't worked with that I'd like to work with. There's some people that I would like to, you know, work with as well. And I want to travel more. I'm going to maybe like do some more international stuff.
Oh, you know hell yeah.
Some sites. I mean, I've talked
to ruin some holes in Berlin
with a few sites or whatever. And they're like, they were like, come. We want to work
in Europe.
With you.
They do a lot of live sex shows. Right?
Yeah.
Have you done that before?
I've done some live shows. I just did Hustler a week and a half ago. And here in Vegas. So,
Hustler with an A.
Yeah.
Hustler Ball.
They do a live sex show.
Yeah,
there?
That's what it is. And they do one in Berlin. They do one in Berlin. And they.
Why don't we come to that?
Yeah. I'm actually hoping I can do the one in Berlin. It's once a year they do them.
Yeah.
But I'm going to reach out to them because they reached out to me and I was like, really, you want me? It's like, of course we want you to do this. I'm like, oh, okay. So I never thought that, you know, that I
would. You seem like, from what I can tell, highly energetic when fucking, which
you
makes
like
good
a...
for a stage show.
Yeah. Well, I like what I do and I do like to perform. I do like to put on a show.
Yeah, you do.
But I mean, I enjoy putting on the show, and I enjoy what I'm doing putting on the show.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's a win-win for me. But I also want to make sure that, you know, you get like, get visuals and you get, like, you know, you're aesthetically pleased and it's exciting for you. And you're like, oh, my God, are they really doing that? Oh, my God, is he really doing? Oh, my God, you know? So I like to.
What's your move?
I have a few, actually. But it depends on who I'm with, the energy. And it depends on, you know, if the crowd's even kind of like whatever, I still give.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? And
you ever pick someone up and done it standing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've done that. I mean, I've sometimes, like, you know, I'll, like, if I'm riding, because I'll go into, like, I'll go into something going, you know, knowing if I'm going to bottom or not. And then sometimes I'm like, okay, I'm not going to bottom at all. I'm just going to top. And then I'll get out there and I'm like, I'm sitting on somebody's dick, you know, and then, and it just happens. And I think for me, that's where the best.
You're in tune
with the whole. Your body knows. Out, and I'm you like, and I get in there and I'm like, I wasn't supposed to be riding fucking dick tonight, but I'm fucking, you know, and then I just start, and then I take that and I go and I give you something with that. And I give myself something with that. And then I go back to whatever and I just play.
You know what I saw on Twitter, X, someone saying, I'm so obsessed with position, this position, I can't stop. Think like missionary, legs up, knees on the chest, but that person is tilted even further up, so the ass is almost like kind of up. That's the top.
Okay.
The bottom has put their legs over those legs and is standing on the bed. And then riding the dick, but is doing the thrusting leg, but they're doing from above.
That's amazing. I've done that before.
That seems crazy.
I've been on the bottom, being the top,
right,
and with my legs up or up here. It's hot when you look at it, when you can see it. And then I've been the top, sitting on that and riding.
That's
and
incredible.
And I'll like spin around on the dick.
360, baby.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Aaron, thanks so much.
Can I just grab your arm real quick?
Yeah, what?
that's doing it for me.
Thank you. The quads. You're going to break the
Where
shorts.
Can everyone find you on the internet?
I have Twitter, AaronTrainerXXX. And I have I have Instagram, _Aaron_Trainer. That's all.
Is that why it's XXX? Because it's like 666.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Sloppy Seconds. You can follow us on Instagram at Sloppy Pod. You can send
us
an email at sloppysecondspod@gmail.com or call in with your own fuck talk story to 213-536.
Yeah.
9180. And don't forget to like and subscribe so you don't ever miss an episode, which come out every Tuesday and Friday.
That's right. And if you want to sign up for Mom Plus Gold, you can do that. You can get our episodes ad-free one day early, and you get to listen to our full video episodes and watch them, of course. Plus, we have monthly sloppier seconds there, and we did a special Vegas vlog while we were here with lots of
fun. Ring-a-ding-dings. You know what I mean?
Drunk.
No.
Do you need to take a break? I
need
somewhere?
To go fart somewhere.
All right. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye, guys.
To get access to our full uncensored video episodes ad-free and one day early, sign up for Mom Plus Gold at mompodcasts.plus.
Sloppy Seconds is produced by Moguls of Media, a.k.a. Mom.
Hosted by Big Dipper and Meatball.
Engineered by Margot Padilla.
Editing and sound design by William Pitts.
Executive produced by Willem, Alaska Thunderfuck, Big Dipper, and Joe Cilio.
Our artwork was drawn by Christian Cimarroni.
And our theme song was written by Mike Malarkey.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true. But shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.